What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 99, so one before 100, which I'm pretty pumped about. And this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me, as always, is Derek. What's going on, Derek?
Yo, what's up?
You don't sound, you need to wake up a little bit, man.
It's been a week.
We're recording a little bit later, so Derek's a little tired, but we'll get him excited about some of these stories, which some of them are kind of interesting. Yes, yes. So we'll jump right into our reviews this week and two really cool products. The first one is a product that I've been looking at for such a long time, and I decided to pull the trigger and go ahead and buy it, and that is the PrimoChill Praxis Wet Bench. And what it is a test bench that's specifically designed for water cooling. I have two test benches here, and while they say they like support water cooling or even AIOs, they really don't. it's very difficult. And this is specifically made for that. And it's specifically made to make it very easy to swap out parts. And when you're doing all the testing that we're doing with motherboards, graphics cards, memory, all that kind of stuff, you want a system where you can easily pull out parts. It just makes the process so much easier. So when I was looking to do a new test system, I needed a new test bench, and this was like the top one on my list, and I just decided to go out and buy it, and I'm very happy with my purchase. This thing is awesome. It comes disassembled, so you have to put it together, which makes it fun, another fun little project. You know, if you do buy this, you'll definitely appreciate it more because you had to build it yourself. It doesn't come assembled, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it pretty much supports everything. So it supports from mini ITX all the way up to extended ATX motherboards. It fits up to 360mm radiators. Technically, you could probably, if you installed on the outside, you could do a 480 on the back if you really wanted to.
It's a little bit of a surprise that it only supports 360 reds if it's for water cooling.
Yeah, that's a, you know, but again, you could do a 480 if you really wanted to, if you installed it on the outside.
Does it have slots for it?
It doesn't have the slots for it, so it would extend out, but
the mounting slots for the screws?
No, so you would install it on three instead of four, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could technically do it, but it wouldn't be advised, I would say.
Yeah.
But it has all of the openings in the right place, not only for routing water cooling, but for routing all of your cables. The radiator mount as well as the motherboard tray are completely removable. So that makes it really easy to go ahead and take off the tray and install your components and put it right back on. And what's really cool about it is compared to other test benches, it puts the motherboard at an angle. So if you're installing your graphics card or even your memory, it just makes it much easier, in my opinion. So it's just a good test bench. And it looks pretty sweet. And there's built-in handles on the side, so that makes it super easy to pick up. One thing I really liked about it. It's an awesome test bench. Now, it is expensive. It is a little up there when it comes to test benches. So it is $184.99.
Yeah,
and anywhere you buy it, if you buy it on Amazon, if you buy it directly through PrimoChill, the shipping is $26. So you're looking at $210.99 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's quite a bit for really an unfleshed out PC case.
Yes. So that's the only thing that I would say I didn't like about it. It is rather expensive. And again, you can get a really good PC case for $100 these days. Something that would fill all of the needs that this does, besides obviously being able to take things out.
Yeah.
But as far as hardware support, you can get a case at $100 that would do everything that this does.
Not do more, really.
Yeah, and technically do more because you could actually do more water cooling. You could do a lot of other things with this.
What's it made out of?
It is made out of, I believe the chassis is made out of steel and then the accents are acrylic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for steel.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like PrimoChill does this. They kind of, I don't know. From time, it depends on the time period that you're talking about. But they, I mean, they have a pretty good name, but I feel like they're a little bit overpriced, actually.
I feel this is slightly overpriced. I think that I do like it, and out of the three test benches I have, it is my favorite.
Yeah, but no, again, it's a nice test bench, but
it is the most expensive. But it is my favorite. It is the most current. I don't know if it's the most current. I believe it's the most current out of the three I have as well. You know, but yeah, it is. I feel it's slightly overpriced. I could see like 150.
Yeah.
Or it's compared to the, you know. And the shipping kills you because, you know, for me, I saw it on Amazon and I was like, oh, Prime, sweet. Oh, wait, no.
No. You know? Especially considering that they ship it flat packed.
Yeah, it's flat packed. It's actually smaller than, I mean, the packaging is smaller than most cases. Yeah. And a lot of cases you'll be able to get shipped through Prime.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So that is also, that's just the downside.
I mean, they make a good product. Most of the time when they're not having like tubing issues.
Yeah.
But like they put a pretty big premium on their products, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say necessarily that it's not worth it because they're nice products, but it makes you hesitate, right?
I think that they found a market where there's not a whole lot of competition. That this test bench offers much more than the other ones that are out there, and that's why I think that you get the price hike as well. You know, because like I said, I was looking for a new test bench and I was looking at different options, and this was the best featured one that I found.
Yeah.
You know, it has everything thought out, I would say.
Yeah, no, it's water cooling on the water cooling side. Aside from the oddness that it doesn't really support many radiators. Really, I'd almost expect multiple radiators support. You know.
Yeah, it might. There might. You might. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the website, but you might be able to get other accessories like that you
bracket.
Could. Yeah, that you could technically do that. I'm not specifically sure.
It's really for me. It's just the steel thing that kind of makes me go.
Yeah,
because at that kind of money, I think you're getting into aluminum.
Yeah, you know you're definitely getting up there in price. Yeah, it's powder coated steel. Like I said, it's nice, it's sexy, it's a good looking product. I think for most people, it's out of what they want to spend, unless again you're somebody like us who's really using this. I mean, I'm switching hardware out all the time on this thing. And that's what I bought it for.
Yeah, and in that case, kind of the professional industrial, you know, case, it's like, oh yeah, price, that makes sense. You can get the money out of those guys, but you can't sell enough of these to justify the production to just testers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some people that would just like this for the looks, but again, it's that high.
Like, it looks good. Yeah, it definitely does.
It's that high-end price. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, those super high-end Li and Li cases. You know, it's like, who's going to buy that at that price? There is a market.
No, there certainly is, yeah.
It's, you know. But, yeah, I definitely agree with you on the price thing. It's just, for the steel, you know, I would say, given everything, $150 would be the good price for me on this.
Yeah. I think that I would, if I was in the market for this product, I would actually pay more, a little bit more, for an aluminum version, even if that's what it took.
Yeah, I think, you know, that
up to like $220 or something.
I think that brushed aluminum would look sick in this design.
Yeah,
but
it's,
you know,
it's just so much of a nicer material, and it's so much lighter and easier to use.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But again, as I said, out of the three test benches I have, this is my favorite. It's more thought out than the other two for sure, and changing out parts is easier on this as well. I wish I had three of these, not just the one for the test system, you know. But it's really good, and I would highly recommend it if you're looking for a test bench and you want to spend this amount of money. It's pretty awesome. But our new Z270 test system is in there, and that's what I've been using for it, and it makes life much easier, I would say. So
cool,
definitely like it. And just to talk about the build time, it will take you about an hour
to put it together.
Yeah, The directions are good, but it's just like the motherboard standoff screws are like such a bitch to put in.
Really?
And just those take like 15 minutes. yeah. So, you know, it's something that you will definitely appreciate if you, you know, put it together. So yeah. So definitely take a look at that review. Really cool product. And the video review is coming up this week. It will be on YouTube. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And that brings us over to the other new product. And this product was just announced and launched this week. It is the Corsair Glaive RGB. And this is a new gaming mouse, a new type of gaming mouse from Corsair. And it's mainly designed for FPS and MOBA gamers. A little bit RTS as well, but not as heavily. And basically what Corsair wanted to do was design a mouse that not only gave you great performance, but was comfortable for long periods of time. When you're playing any type of games, or even if you're sitting at your computer for a long period of time, when it comes to keyboards, mice, and headsets, you know, you're going to run into some fatigue somewhere. It happens if you're using a product for that long a period of time. So with this, they really designed it with a design in mind that would limit fatigue, and I really think it does. I played one of our favorite games, Payday 2, for 3 hours straight, and I was not fatigued at all, really, which was surprising to me because that just typically happens. I'm an old man these days. And I was not that fatigued at all. And again, for being a mouse that's designed for that type of game, like an FPS, you only have the two side buttons and the two main top buttons, and that's it. And I like that. And one interesting thing about this mouse is that it has interchangeable side, I guess you want to call it, I don't know.
Thumb rest?
Yeah, sorry. I was totally going crazy there. Interchangeable thumb rests, which are pretty cool. So if you're playing like an RTS, one has a more of an RTS feel, and then the other two are pretty much the same, but the one has a rubberized coating on it, which I actually really like. And I kind of like that if I'm playing a different style of game, it kind of gives me the option of having like a different type of grip on my mouse. That's one thing that's really cool. Obviously, as the name indicates, it is an RGB mouse. Lights aren't anything that I would say are important when it comes to a mouse. I think performance is the big thing. You have all
those because you put your hand over them.
Yeah, exactly. And you cover those RGBs when you're playing. And you shouldn't be looking at those RGBs when you're playing either.
You should be better than that.
Yes.
If you're looking at your RGBs while you're playing, maybe you shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, it has a 16,000 DPI optical sensor developed by Corsair and Pixar.
So unnecessary.
And what's really nice about this sensor is that you can adjust it in 1 DPI increments.
Totally needed.
Yes.
That's the one thing I've been missing from my mouse is being able to adjust by 1 DPI.
You just, instead of having like 800, you need like 823, man.
Dude, sometimes, right?
Yeah. But you do have that option. I know a lot of people are really finicky when it comes to that. And you have 5 different DPI modes as well. So you can cycle through those and do that. Everything's saved on the mouse as well. So if you take it to a friend's house and connect to their computer, all your stuff will be saved on the mouse, which is nice.
Cool.
And I think
so you can figure everything through Corsair Link and then it saves it to the mouse?
Corsair Q.
Oh, Q.
Yeah. So for their gaming products, there's Q, and then for like the AIOs and other stuff, there's Link.
Yeah. All the hardware stuff.
Yeah. So Corsair Q is amazing. It works extremely well. Very easy to use. One of the better ones out there. So.
But it's not. It's not like even linked or anything into each other. The two pieces of software.
I don't believe
so. Totally standalone. Yes.
I don't believe so.
Versions out there that do that, so that's a little disappointing that doesn't do that.
Yeah, that doesn't have them all together. I think they wanted to keep them separated because both have been developed separately.
Yeah, sure, of course. I would think, though, they would want to do, like, okay, so you install Q if you just buy a mouse or keyboard or whatever, and then you install Corsair Link if you're doing hardware, but if you're someone using both, that you should be able to enable the other, one or the
yes.
other?
Yes. I really wish that Link worked like Q did, like Q does, because Link has some issues, and I'm not a huge fan of Link.
Yeah, he's got issues.
Yeah, like if you compare, and I know this is completely off topic, but if you compare Corsair Link to NZXT Cam, NZXT Cam kills it.
Yeah, Cam kills just about everything.
Yeah, so you know, that's the difference. And I would say that Corsair Q is like Cam, more like Cam, and
yeah.
Corsair Link is like Corsair Link.
Corsair Link is like, where are all the controls?
Yeah, Corsair Link has been in development longer than Q has, I believe. So it just has that older feel, and it kind of just feels, I wouldn't say archaic, but it's just old.
It's not a fluid program.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah. It works. Mostly.
But yeah, shout out to Corsair. If you want to develop a piece of software that's much like NZXT Cam and has all the functionalities of Q, and then if I have another Corsair product like an AIO, like an H, whatever, you know, I can just have one piece of software, not two, be perfect. And they all work in sync. And maybe if I'm crazy and I want to match my RGB LEDs on this new mouse to my RGB LEDs on my AIO, I can do that.
I would think that's something you should be able to do.
Exactly.
It's not entirely unreasonable.
Exactly. Maybe Corsair's in the works of that. Who knows? But this is a really good mouse, guys. And I think it's $69.99. I think when I checked, it is $69.99, which is, you know, brand
towards
new mouse. Yeah, towards the top end, but it's really thought out mouse. It's the biggest thing for me is the comfort factor of this. You know, you can say you have all these crazy sensors and all this stuff, but something has to be comfortable to be able to use for extended periods of time, and this mouse is. I'm using it right now, so that tells you enough, because if you know me, I switch out things rather fast if I'm done reviewing them and I don't think they're worth using. So I'm still using it. I really do like it. It is very comfortable. So
awesome.
So yeah, I gave it a 10 out of 10, and that doesn't happen that often. So yeah. That brings us to a article we post once a month, and that is 20 of the worst PC setups. So we compiled 20 really horrible PC setups. Sometimes you feel really bad for these people. A couple of them I found interesting this month. One was this guy took a picture of his coworker's setup that apparently brings a box to work that when you open it up has like a PC board inside. And he uses that as his computer at work, which is crazy.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's on the first page if you've seen it. And then the other one is where somebody built an entire setup out of boxes. I don't know if they were moving or what.
But I feel like they could have been more creative with that, actually.
Yeah.
They could have gone more all out in their creation.
Yeah, but that one was pretty interesting. And some of these are just people who don't clean. Which is never good.
No, you should clean.
And the one that didn't make a lot of sense is this guy has a PC mounted above his door entryway.
Yeah.
And wires going all
over the place.
It makes no sense. Like, why would you do that? Don't know.
What's the guy going on there?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Here's my guess. His room is so disgusting and not clean that he has no place to put
a PC.
And can't afford a case. So that's my guess.
Or just a box to throw it in.
Yeah.
And dangerous looking.
Yeah, not exactly sure. But yeah, so these are really cool to see because it, like, you know, you're like, oh, my desk sucks or oh, my setup sucks. And you look at some of these and you're like, wow, I feel very lucky to have what I have.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely take a look at these. Some of these are really funny, and we like I said, we post this once a month for you guys to check out, so definitely take a look and feel better about your PC setup. And then that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and as I always say, we feature this once a week every Friday, and we feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this one is it's weird to see it as a PC mod, just for the fact that while this game is available for PC, it is mainly an Xbox game. But this is a Gears of War 4 mod done by Zen Mods, and I like it.
It's sick, and the game is sick on PC too.
Yes, I play that game quite a lot. So this is done in the Cooler Master Master Case Maker 5, which is an amazing case. One of the better cases that came out last year, I would say, definitely in the top five in my opinion. And just completely done over in Gears of War 4 themed. Just like the Gears of War 4 logo all over the place. It has the black and the red design there. Really, yeah. Really cool.
Great paint.
Yeah, really great paint. I don't know if it's... I assume it's a paint job. I don't know if it's a wrap or a paint job, but...
Probably paint.
Yeah, but... nice little... cooling as well, so you have custom water cooling loop, which it looks like Bits Power stuff in there, which is always good to see.
Yeah, he's got the limited edition Bits Power hexagon reservoirs.
Oh, those are limited edition? I did not know that.
Yeah, they're pretty sick. They're really expensive, actually, too.
Nice.
Because they're only like 150, maybe. No. They're probably like 50s, actually.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're like 70, 80 bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, they're cool, though.
Yeah, well, he has that in there, and then he's done most of the he's done hard tubing, and then the coolant is red, and then it looks like it's white in some. Am I not seeing
it? It's got to be a dual loop. He's got two pumps in there.
Yeah.
It's either a dual loop, oops, sorry about that, or part of it isn't functional. It's got to be a dual loop, though.
Yeah, it looks like it. But
looks like, oh, well, he's got the, he's got like a, well, the GPU is mounted, sorry, I think it's vertical, and with the PCB side or the cooler side, the block side facing us, like kind of laying on top of the motherboard, sort of.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. It kind of feels congested. It's really
buried in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of feels congested, but it is different. Definitely something different.
It's kind of impressive because of how complex it is.
Yeah. It's very, very complex. I feel, it looks like, it reminds me of, what's that, remember that screensaver called Pipes?
Oh, yeah. A bit of that going on. Yeah. Which I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, but, that's what kind of looks like. Oh, you know
what it is? It's white coolant. It's just got red hard tubing on part of it.
Oh, that's interesting. That's something we don't typically see.
Not often.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
Because usually people go for the coolant.
Yeah. That's a cool way to give a dual contrast kind of thing. With you know, with using a different, you know, cooler.
Yeah, tubing. Yeah, because we used to back in the day before the hard tubing, with the soft tubing, you used to see that all the time, colored tubing, and for some reason, I mean, and I prefer the clear tubing personally, but we've really gone to the clear tubing and then changing your coolant up for the color. But yep, this is definitely a way to do it.
Yeah, I like it. And one thing that I also found that was really cool that a lot of, man, I don't know, a lot of people won't appreciate, but on the back side of the motherboard tray, he has, one, he has his SSD display, but he also made a little display for the little fan hub that comes with the case, so you can actually see it, which is kind of cool. I think it's
pretty
cool.
Yeah. It's interesting that he chose to do that. I believe what he did here, though, is he made a back panel for the back panel.
Yes.
Right? So he covered up all the wires and everything with this, kind of sandwiched it all in there. And it looks like he's even got a light, so then there's got to be like an acrylic panel that would go over top of it.
Yeah, so this case has dual side, well, he bought the dual side acrylic panels.
Gotcha. Yeah. This is probably the way to do that, because I don't think that that's a very good idea in general, because it's so much work to get the backside cables looking good enough for dual acrylic.
Yes.
So this is definitely a way to take care of that.
Yeah, I like it. I like I said, I really like this build. It's cool to see a Gears of War 4 PC build, because again, I don't know how popular the game is. Every time I play, I'm the only PC player in my group, so
yeah,
I can't assume it's super good. But it's an amazing game, and it's one of the first games to make use of, I forget what the NVIDIA technologies that are in that game, but it was one of the first PC games to do that.
Didn't know that.
So yes. Very, very awesome game and very awesome mod from Zen Mods. And we linked his Facebook so you can check out all his stuff. He does some good stuff. So
cool.
So yeah. So that brings us to news, and there are some rather interesting AMD stories this week.
Turn here.
Yes. So the first one is earlier in the week, the beginning of the week, the first AMD Radeon RX Vega 3D Mark Time Spy results were leaked. And again, Radeon RX Vega is supposed to be super high-end HBM2, which Derek loves if you've been listening to this podcast for a while. And it in this test, it barely beat a GTX 1070.
Which is hilarious.
Which is not very promising for those who are kind of set on this. So basically, that's not that impressive. And it kind of, I read the story and I was like, really? And then I looked up and I was like, yeah, that's very true. Now, that brings us to our next story, which is that AMD is working on at least three Radeon RX Vega SKUs. So they're going to carve out at least three RX Vega cards out of the Vega 10 GPU. And the lowest SKU is slightly faster than GTX 1070, and then just released was another 3D Mark Time Spy, and it's pretty much in the same league as the GTX 1080 Ti. So that is promising.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, is that HBM2, you know, supposed to be real crazy. NVIDIA is, you know, using... What's on the Ti? That's GDDR5X.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is only just competing with that card.
It's the biggest thing to me is that this is, like... It's a generation behind.
That's what I feel. So, you know, we heard reports about Volta supposedly coming out in Q3.
Yeah.
And so, again, here's my synopsis is that AMD will release Vega, they said, within Q2. So,
yeah.
Computex likely. You'll have it. They'll have their moments. Oh, we beat the, you know, we beat NVIDIA, and they'll probably beat
them. We're faster than the Ti. We're the fastest single... processor card on the market,
and they'll probably beat them on price because that's been their, they've been pretty aggressive on the price.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The Fury and, cards kind of
well, yeah,
away with that.
And then a month later, 2 months later, NVIDIA will be like, psh, we crush you again.
Yeah.
That's well, not what mention, I.
They're still the Titan, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's there's the Titan called. Sorry.
The XP.
Yes, the XP.
Yes.
Just faster yet than the Ti.
Yeah. You know, so there could be a fourth SKU that could be the Titan equivalent. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember when it came to Fiji, you had the R9 Fury X, the R9 Fury, the R9 Nano, and then the Pro Duo, which was the...
Yeah, but that's car. Like some cobbled together...
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, we didn't make a fast enough card.
Yeah, so card. We'll see.
There's it also... incredibly expensive for the Duo.
Yeah, was it $14.99 my watch?
I think so.
Yeah, so it's a lot of money to spend on a graphics card.
The truth is that they should just be stomping the current NVIDIA cards into the ground with these, right?
That's what a lot of people had thought.
This is supposed to be newer tech.
Yeah, you know, HBM2 is supposed to be the new thing, and again,
I mean, HBM2 is faster.
Yes.
Than GDDR5X. Like, that's not really a question. It's not implementing itself faster here. We also have to question the drivers in this.
Yeah, because this is very...
definitely pre-release.
Yeah, this is pre-release driver, so that's something you always have to keep in mind when these leaks come out. But again, I mean, if they're just looking to compete on the same level, I don't think a lot of AMD fanboys are going to be happy. Or people in general.
The fanboys will be happy. It's what they need is the undecided and the guy that's willing to try something else.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to get me, even now, like, I would say, if I'm buying a graphics card, it's going to be NVIDIA right now. No question.
Yeah.
And to get me, and like I said, I've had great driver support when it came to NVIDIA, and everything about the NVIDIA suite is great. And power consumption, noise level, temperature, everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
So to get me to move to AMD, you're going to have to offer me better performance. It doesn't sound like it's a spaceship about to take off. And it has good efficiency. And that's something that AMD has lacked in their graphics cards for a long time. You know, and obviously the drivers too. And I know, especially, you know, in the past year, AMD has really made a big thing to make their drivers be good and obviously have updates and things like that. So,
I mean, they've made strides. It's just fighting their history.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's just tough to make that choice to go with them. Even when they're, you know, they're supposed to be good. Oh, this is the card. This is the good one. Like, and you try it and you're like, oh, this is not the good one.
Yeah.
It's just not, the experience is never, to me, is never the same as NVIDIA.
That is 100% correct. So. So we do know there's going to be at least three cards, which is promising. There's not just going to be one big card that nobody can afford, which is good. And it looks, as to this report, it looks like they're going to compete with a 1070, a 1080, and a 1080 Ti-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Something around, something like that. So we'll have to see as we get closer to Computex. You know,
they're gonna have a hard time competing even on the price front, because current NVIDIA offerings are pretty competitive.
Very.
Yes. They're like their best prices in what, 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been that. Yeah, it's like you can get a good card that plays your, yeah, it's very, very good right now. So we'll, you know, I think it's just time's only gonna tell with this. We'll see what happens as we get, I guarantee we'll have an announcement around Computex. That's just my guess. So
we'll know something more at least.
Yeah, we'll know a lot more.
Like, we're gonna get like a soft launch at Computex though, like, oh, the card is available, but then you can't actually get it.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we'll be like 2 or 3 weeks out. That's what they normally do. So
yeah.
So we'll see,
which puts them very, very close to the next NVIDIA launch.
Yeah, supposed
next, supposed,
yes. So more bad luck on AMD this week.
Is this bad luck, or is this the result of the things we're talking about?
I wouldn't say it's a result of the things we're talking about. I think the biggest thing with this is that, well, let's talk about the story first. So sure. AMD's stock dipped to the lowest it's been in 12 years. So it took a 26.2% drop.
Jeez.
Or wait. No, 24.22% drop. That's down $10.30 a share. And that, like I said, this is only beat out by the 26.2% drop in 2005. And the reason for this is that AMD released their Q1 financial results, and they were good, but they weren't perfect.
They weren't good enough.
They weren't good enough, and I think that's. Yeah. I think that, you know, most investors, the people on Wall Street, needed it, at least they advised, and from what I've read on this topic, is that AMD basically had to have a perfect Q1, which they didn't. And that had, a lot of that has to do, Ryzen did well. Ryzen did really well, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But, you know, they had stock issues in the beginning. It was completely sold out, and it took them a while to get more in. And I just don't think that they had that perfect quarter that they needed. And a lot of analysts and a lot of investors decided, okay, we're pulling out. This was supposed to be something really great, and it wasn't perfect. So we're gonna
It essentially didn't sell like hotcakes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was too. The results and the reviews and the opinions were too mixed. Right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, our consensus here, what I talked about a few weeks ago, was that Ryzen's good. It's good for certain things. It suffers in gaming, and the platform's so new, it's very unstable. So wait, that was a consensus of a lot of people, was it's good, get it now if you want, but wait till the platform matures a little bit. And another big thing about it too, which I didn't talk about that much, was at launch, there wasn't a whole lot of motherboards available. I think MSI launched 15 motherboards after launch. You know, so that is a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah,
it's a, you know, so I think a lot of people just decided to pull out, and a lot of people saw people were pulling out, so they decided to sell as well. And some people were putting a big sell on it. Some people were saying just to stay the course and we'll wait till the Q2 results, which from what everybody's saying should be better, but you never know. But that's a pretty big and not even like it's a big hit to the stock, but it's a big PR hit too.
That's the worst thing, which, because it just creates the landslide effect, you know, where like a little bit starts, but all this keeps tumbling, and then more people hear that, they see the press, and then...
Yeah, and the last company
affects stock a lot.
The last company we talked about stock price dropping was why can't I think of it now? Mad Catz, and now they're bankrupt. Which I really don't think is going to happen to AMD, but just saying, you know, we talked about
quite,
it.
No, we're not quite a Mad Catz situation here.
Yeah, but you know, so that's that happened this week. So we'll see how they recover, and when the Q2 results come in, obviously we'll see. That's when we'll see a big shift in either buys or sells on the stock. So
yeah. I think I personally feel the hard sell, the drop, it was a bit premature for on Wall Street's part. I don't think that it's definitely too early to count out what AMD is doing.
Yeah, I think that's Ryzen will continually pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Just as it, again, as the platform matures and there's more options out there too, you know, that's
it's probably a good time to buy, I would actually say. Not that you should listen to us for financial advice at all. Please do not. But disclaimer, right? We are not financial analysts.
Exactly.
But I mean, I think that it's a thing. Things are on the way up for them.
Still. Yeah, I think they're going to have a good Q2. I think with the hype surrounding Vega, still, even though some of the things we talked about aren't that great, but with the hype surrounding that, and I'm sure they'll put on a good show at Computex, as they did for Ryzen when they had that little announcement event. So I think we'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. You know,
I just think that we're at a point where they're going to start, because we have another article coming up showing this, that they're on the upswing now.
Yeah, I think they are.
General, like this isn't like a, hey, tomorrow we're gonna own the computer world. They're gonna steadily claw their way back, I think.
As I always talked about when we talk about these, not these wars, but these two companies competing. As long as there's options, I'm happy. Equal options, right?
Yeah.
So if I have the choice to build a new PC and I can either go AMD and Intel, and the performance is, there's give and take on both sides, I'm happy. And obviously, when there is that, there are obviously price wars too. So that's a good thing for us consumers. So I'm happy
that's
about
what we want.
That. Yeah,
it's definitely what we want to see.
Yeah. So, as Derek said, that brings us to our next story. So for the first time in 10 years, AMD takes some CPU market share from Intel. So
that's
big
incredible.
Deal. Yeah.
That's,
so this
that's
is
what
from
I think is most telling.
This is from the Passmark benchmark software. So this is based off thousands of submissions into their database each quarter. And if you look at the graph, right around 2006, and I'm not sure, I didn't actually look this up, but 2006, I believe, is when, around that time is when Intel announced, like, started to announce their Core series. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong. But I believe that's when it happened. And if you look, the AMD the Intel market share goes up and the AMD market share goes down.
I think you're right. I think just before that, that was the Core series launch.
Yeah. So then, right in the Q1, AMD ticks up, Intel ticks down. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly. It's a slight tick. But
it's just a bit of an exchange.
Yeah. And it's good to see, I would say. I think that, again, Ryzen is... It is a good platform, and it's a viable platform for anybody doing anything with computers, so it's good to see. And
it's the strongest platform they've launched since
Pentium 4?
Like Avon. Yeah.
Pentium 4, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, well, no, Avon.
It's not just like Bulldozer, you know, that was like a gaming part, sort of, you know. That's,
yeah.
But it was marketed as, mostly. And this is like a whole platform, it's the whole kit and caboodle, you know, it's everything. I think that it's a solid start. I don't think it's the best right now. I think it's better at some stuff, and I just think it's a solid start for them. It's a new beginning, and it's a great new direction for them.
I like it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So, we'll get off of AMD's ass, I would say. And we will go to a little NVIDIA news. And, we talked about it before, how NVIDIA is going to take a piece of that lower end, right above integrated graphics market, because AMD did launch their card in that price range, $79. So It hasn't been announced yet, but pictures have been leaked of a KFA2 GeForce GT 1030, and it's the XOC White edition, which actually looks pretty cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
And again, I know
of course we're not... you could throw a white PCB on a piece of junk, and we would probably like it still.
But this is a GT 1030. It hasn't been announced, but we know for a fact they will have them now. Because unless somebody completely photoshopped this, which would be kind of crazy. Yeah. From looking at the packaging, it confirms the 2 gigabytes of GDDR5 running at 64-bit memory bus, and it does come with the 16-nanometer GP108 GPU. Which has 384 CUDA cores, and that is not what we expected. So we expected the GP108 to GT 1030 to have the full 512 cores that are on the GP108, and this card does not. So it could possibly mean that NVIDIA is going to release a 1030 and a 1040. You know, a 1030, they said this card's expected to go to 69, maybe another $10 for a 1040 or something like that.
I would think you'd
get. Yeah. So they could bring this in at a lower cost than AMD's card, and then have another one that's set at the AMD card price that both could perform better. I'm not sure. But cool. I would say this is going to be one of the coolest looking GT 1030s.
It's a great media card.
Yeah.
It's got pretty sweet clocks, 1252 base and 1506 boost. That's not, I mean, it's not going to do much, but it's a pretty fast speed.
I think these will be great for HTPCs that you're going to run like 4K content on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that does have the HDMI out, you know, so you can do all that.
Pretty much all those cards have that.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty cool, I think. Pretty cool.
Not gonna run a lot of games, but
no. It will run your Dota Legends, and League of Legends. So a lot of people will be happy about that for that price. So yeah. So talking about NVIDIA, they did something pretty cool. So we talked about this maybe 3 months ago. I don't know
how long we were talking about it.
Oh, we did talk about it, or at least I remember writing about it on the site.
So
with Netflix, in order to stream Netflix in 4K on your PC, you either needed to have a Ryzen or Kaby Lake CPU. You could not stream any other way because of certain DRM restrictions, and it's built both Ryzen and Kaby Lake have I don't even know. I couldn't explain it, but basically there's instructions in the processor for DRM that only those processors have. That's the best I can explain it. so if you had a really high end system like X99 or even a Skylake system,
or any of the hundreds of configurations that are capable of 4K.
Yeah, capable of 4K. If you had a badass card, an AMD Pro Duo could easily stream Netflix in 4K.
That 1030 we just talked about could do it.
Yeah, you couldn't. So what NVIDIA has done is with their latest driver update is they enabled support in their 10 series graphics cards except for the 1050. So 1060, 1070, 1080, 1080 Ti, Titan XP. they all will you're now able to play Netflix in 4K, which is pretty cool, I think. But it kind of sucks that it doesn't go all the way down to a 1050 and maybe those 1030s, which would be kind of cool, possibly in the future.
Yeah. I would say that it's possible that you'll be able to do it on them just because it's an unreleased card, so they're not going to list it.
Yeah.
Maybe they want you to have to buy the more expensive card.
Yeah, not exactly sure.
Why does Netflix not just fix this?
I think it's the certain DRM restrictions on their content that only work with certain things. I can't explain this to you fully because I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's cool that NVIDIA has done this. They made it possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's one more thing to throw in there, you know, check that box.
We can do this. We can, you know. So I know that NVIDIA had worked with Netflix on this. To make it possible. You know what I mean?
It still, like, has some weird caveats to it, right? Like the multi-GPU configuration or a multi-monitor situation.
Yeah, both of your monitors need to support HDCP 2.2.
Regardless of whether you're playing, doing the playback on the equipped one or not, it won't work if they both aren't, which is odd to me. According to this. So if you have one monitor that is...
Yeah, you have to have the other one turned off, apparently.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because I want to watch a movie on one.
I don't want to mess with my setup every time I want to watch a movie.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. But again,
there must be some serious limitations from
it's DRM. Like what was that crazy DRM like years ago with the PC games?
Definitely Ubisoft.
One of those. It's like that. It's like they have to work around. They have to work with the DRM to do like the transcode or something. I don't know. That's my best guess. Yeah. Again, I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure that has a lot to do with it. So basically, from what I'm gathering about this is that the Pascal GPUs are doing the DRM something.
Well, yeah, they're just satisfying the DRM requirements, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that's kind
that
of...
Using that route.
Yeah. So yeah, so that is that's a good thing. Like I said, as you said, it checks another box for NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here's something, our next story, which is completely overkill, but I think it's awesome.
Is this a record?
I don't think
it could be a record. You don't.
There was that one ASRock board that had like 30 SATA connectors. Do you remember that thing?
No.
That might have been more expensive than this.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it's one of the most expensive.
This is one of the most expensive motherboards out there, and I think it has some really cool things. So, Asus announced their Republic of Gamers Maximus 9 Extreme motherboard, which I believe, based just looking at it, it's extended ATX or XLATX.
Yeah, definitely.
Has a built-in monoblock, and the monoblock is designed in collaboration with BitsPower. So shout out to BitsPower, because typically when we see these integrated blocks on this stuff, they are EK. So
yeah.
Good, but yeah.
BitsPower makes good stuff too.
And one thing that's
super
interesting about this is the monoblock covers your CPU, VRM, and the M.2 slot.
Really?
Yeah. So remember how you were talking about somebody needs to make one of those?
Yeah.
There's an integrated monoblock that does all of those. That does
predictor
all of those.
Predictor of the future is over here.
Yeah. The monoblock looks sick. It has an ROG logo on it.
Yeah.
It has RGB backlighting as well that works with, of course, Asus's, what is theirs, Aurora?
Yeah.
I think that's what there's.
No. Isn't that Gigabyte?
I forget. No, I think Asus is Aurora.
Is it? Okay.
Maybe. I could be wrong. But it works with, yeah, it works with their RGB software as well, so you could sync these with, I'm sure there's RGB headers on this board as well.
Yeah.
This board has everything.
Dude, there's a ton of headers on this thing.
Yeah, it has a ton of different fan headers. It has a 8-pin plus 4-pin for the CPU, so you bring even more stuff. It has all of the different things. It looks like it has the DIP switches for the PCI Express slots, because I see two of them, so I can imagine that's for the two main PCI Express slots.
Yeah.
It
should have absolutely every bell or whistle that's come out in the past.
Yeah, every Asus technology it has on it. And it even has, they brought over the built-in IO shield that was on, I forget what Asus, it wasn't ROG boards, but it was on, it was like Asus exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Only on Asus boards, not ROG boards. So they brought that over as well. It's just this thing has everything.
It's a cool board, and yeah.
Yeah.
I love the 90 degree 24 pin connector. I think that's a great feature.
Yeah, so that was on the EVGA classified K, and I like it.
Yeah.
I really like that.
It really cleans up your cables.
Yeah, and I believe this has like the highest end Supreme FX audio on it as well. I mean, that's basically.
Did we say the price? It's $629. It should have absolutely everything.
Yeah, it has everything. I want one of these.
So there's the top picture in the article. There's like a orange border around the whole thing. Is that an LED trace or is that?
That is a copper around. Yeah,
I like forget a, what like they call shielding it. Shielding or something.
Yeah, it's a copper border. Well, I forget what they call it, but yeah.
Because why not?
Yeah. Like I said, this has everything.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, it is Aura software.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I knew I was right. I knew one of them.
You were close. You said
Aurora. Yeah, so there's like Aurora, there's MSI, Aura. Mystic Light. I forget the Gigabyte one's called. They're all the same, but...
Yeah, they'll do the same thing.
Yes. But yeah, this thing is just amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty board.
Yeah, I want one.
So I was going to suggest that this is probably a pretty crazy overclocker, right? Because
Imagine.
It's an awesome block. Everything is, I mean, it's even got the, essentially, we think it's got a block for your M.2 slot, right?
Yes.
But all that is on top of the fact that Intel is suggesting that people don't overclock the processors for this board. Did you see that?
Yes. And actually...
Very interesting.
Are you talking about the heat issue?
It was the 7700K, right?
Yes.
And Intel suggesting, because they're having issues, saying, please just don't overclock this part. That's their solution.
Is that the heat issue you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so there is a heat issue, and I was just testing stuff earlier. We didn't cover the story on the site, but there is a heat issue, and it does spike. It spikes high. It goes back down to normal, but every so often it will spike. So, like, I'm testing AIOs right now, and my 7700K, like in an AIO 100% CPU usage, will be like between 50 and 60 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
But it spikes and it goes up to 80. Yeah.
Just suddenly.
Yeah.
There's no cooling that you can set up that can like tamp that down either. Like that's a huge spike.
Yes, it spikes and it spikes. I haven't like really looked at it because I just wanted to make sure I wasn't gonna roast my CPU, which wouldn't be good because I think the thermal limit on those is 90 or 99. I forget what it is on the 7700K.
Okay.
But. Yeah, and then like, you know, because I'm testing, I have Prime 95 running. I'm, you know, doing all that, and I'm looking, and okay, it's at, you know, it's at 80, and then I look again, and it's back at 52. You know, so that is
that really an issue. Skews kind of like your test results too.
Well, I have it to where I know, you know what I mean, because
potentially because you know you go with what the recording software records is like your highest. But so yeah. This means you got to really like factor that out.
Yeah. So I have it set so I know. Basically, if the spike happens about 20 minutes in, I would say to my testing in my testing, and it spikes, I would say for 10 minutes and then it goes back down.
Oh, it actually spikes up and holds.
It spikes up and holds for a little bit and then it comes down. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's very odd. And typically when this happens. It would be an issue with your cooling or something, or a bad motherboard. I've had that in the past where that had happened.
Okay. Were you getting a power surge?
Yeah, or just something. It's just like a motherboard that I've used for years, and then it just started doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Your power regulation is falling apart, probably.
Yeah. So. That's completely off what we were talking about, but that is an issue.
It's just interesting because you've got this crazy overclocking board, but like you're not really supposed to use it for that, you know?
Because yeah.
I mean, water cooling is going to be better than the AIOs you're using, but you're not 30 degrees, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think that
80 degrees is that's probably too high.
Yeah, for constant running for
that
sure.
Part for that yeah. Part, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's one. Asus had this design before that came out.
Sure, yeah, and that was just this week.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to deter a lot of people, just for the fact that I don't see, and there's some instances where you're going to put 100% load on your CPU for extended periods of time, say encoding or something like that. But even if you're encoding 4K, you're not encoding for hours at a time. At least I don't think, unless you're encoding a feature film.
Well, yeah. Depends, but I think that a person that would be encoding for hours would be aware of what they're doing.
And I don't think that they would be using maybe that part. But yeah, it's a concern, and I think it's a good point to bring up because, yeah, there is that issue, and I don't know if they're going to fix it. Probably not.
It sounds like it's probably a hardware problem.
Yeah, but that does happen, and I actually read that story, and I was like, am I going to have to do all my testing on a 6700K if it's a real big issue? But I figured how to kind of circumvent that, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Back to the Asus board, though. It's an amazing board.
Yeah, so Asus, send one to me, and you can send one to Derek as well.
Please do.
Yeah, so Derek would probably make better use out of it because he would do the water cooling on it.
Yeah, and I'll get a 7700K, and I'll break it if you want. Like, I'll run it to the thermal limit if it means I get that board.
Yeah, it's a sexy board. I would love to have this in my machine.
Yeah.
It's you want to
talk about sexy things, man? The next article.
What is the next article? I didn't even look at the next article. Bob,
keep up.
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't think you were going to be excited about this, to be honest. I saw this and I was like, Derek's not going to be excited at all.
I watched the video. Did you watch the video?
I did. So, Microsoft announced their new generation Surface laptop. And for Microsoft, for the longest time, they have been trying to develop a MacBook killer. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it. And I think that's especially after the second generation Surface tablet, they crushed it. Like the Surface tablets are amazing.
They're so good.
And I know people that are like PC guys that, you know, that use them as their main like laptop. Microsoft has really come a long way when it comes to their hardware devices, especially the Surface line. And they just announced the new generation Surface laptop, and it is sick.
It's a gorgeous piece of equipment.
Yeah. It is a 2.76 pounds, 14.47 millimeters at its thickest point. The colors are really nice too. You have I'm trying to think of there's probably specific names for these.
Blue.
Gray.
Red.
Blue, gray, red, and gold.
Yeah.
And
it's just okay, it's hard to describe because it's an ultrabook, right?
Yeah.
It's difficult to really put into words. You really gotta watch the video.
We have the video linked we have the video in the article so you can watch it.
Just play it there.
These will start at $1,000 on $999 and will be available starting June 15th. I don't know what the base setup of this is.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of part detail.
I know it's going to be Core i7
we know that they're going to be fast though because the Surface has always been a fast.
Yeah, so I know it's going to at least have a Core i7 in it, at least one of the versions. One thing that's interesting is that the Surface laptop is it's being powered by Windows 10S.
Yeah, it's a custom build, right?
Yeah, so if you don't know what Windows 10S is, it is basically Windows, but you can only run the native Windows applications. Everything that can be bought on the store.
Hmm.
So I can't put a third party. Like if I wanted to run, I think even anything. Like Photoshop.
Yeah.
Anything that you can't get in the Windows. Maybe you can get.
I'm sure you can get Photoshop in there. But...
Yeah, but like, and you know, if I wanted to run like Prime 95, I can't. If I wanted to run. You know, anything that's not available in the Windows Store, you can't run.
Essentially, they're building themselves a Mac OS environment.
Basically, yes. But you can upgrade Windows 10S. You can just go in and pay the extra. I think it's an extra $100 to upgrade to regular Windows 10.
It's Pro.
Yeah. So, you know, it has the ability. And they've thrown in some stuff. So you get Office 365 personal and 1 terabyte of OneDrive storage.
Which I think you should get just in general. I think they should just come with it when it's this level of a product. I think those are things you should just have.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for me? Sure.
Yeah.
So I think it's sexy. I would love to play with one. The people who were at the event, like the big, like Mashable and some other people, they said it's so nice. Oh, and they said that the colors are better and more defined and look better than the colors on like an iPhone even.
Yeah.
They just look really, really great. So I mean, big. You know, again, when Microsoft started this whole hardware thing with Surface, I was kind of like, eh. But as it's gone along, they've gotten a lot better, and I think that this is going to help more people get on Windows for sure. It looks like a nice piece of hardware.
Yeah, I think it even the video does like a build up, right? Like essentially, it puts it together in the beginning of the video, and it looks like it's a mechanical switch in there even.
On the keyboard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like it kind of like, it's like a 3D thing where it all comes together. It looks like a custom mechanical, like really, really low profile switch.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a scissor style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. It looks nice. Obviously backlit keyboard, like it's nice.
Yep.
Super thin. One thing I didn't do, which I was reading in one of the articles on it, is they didn't put USB type C on it.
They didn't. Huh?
Yeah, at least I believe they didn't.
That's an auto mission. They did put an SD port on it, which puts it a good step above the new MacBook Pro.
Yes.
Because MacBook went all crazy and removed it, like everything.
Yeah, so I believe this only has...
I think you're right.
Maybe one USB port? I'm trying to find a side view.
There we go. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like hard to find it because I'm trying to find it as well.
Yeah, it's just got one USB and it looks like... Shoot. I don't know what the other port is. Headphone jack. Looks like a standard USB 3.0 probably. And yeah. What is that? Display port?
Probably mini display port.
Yeah.
Or micro display port, I would guess.
That's an odd thing not to have, but it was probably a choice between... I mean, USB-C is the future. It's a much better port, but it's not fully implemented right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the thing is, it would be like just like the MacBook. You have to get a dongle.
That's just ridiculous.
For multiple things. So, you know, if I want to output, I have the display port connection. If I want to connect a USB, I have my USB connection, which works with any device. You know, and I do have the card reader, so that saves a USB port as well. Yeah,
I think they took a lot of cues or a lot of lessons from the things that the MacBook Pro didn't have, and they just went ahead and put it on this. This is a smart build right here.
I like this. I might have to go to the store and look at one of these.
Yeah, not maybe as far as buy one, but
I would like to play with one. Do they have those in your mall? Do they have the little pop up Microsoft?
I don't have a Microsoft store.
Okay, so we don't have a technical store, but we have one of those little kiosks in the middle of the mall. Yeah. So if you ever want to check out Microsoft products, I would say go check this out before if you're looking at this.
Best Buy should have all this stuff too.
Yeah, Best Buy should have this as well. So go to Best Buy. Yeah. But yeah, cool. Really cool. I was
not necessarily like a hardware thing, right? But still really cool.
Yes, I was. I'm kind of surprised to you. I thought you were going to be like, oh, nobody cares.
No, it's cool.
Completely.
If we were talking about a MacBook, I'd be like, dude, who cares?
Yeah, you were like that in a lot of the things. but this brings us to our last story, and this was kind of cool, I think. So this guy bought a box of old StarCrafts or old Blizzard related stuff on eBay. Yeah. And in that box of old Blizzard related stuff was apparently a CD-ROM, which is the Gold Master source CD for the original StarCraft.
How does that happen?
I don't know how that happens, for one. So if you don't know what a Gold Master is, a Gold Master is the source code for... The Gold Master is what they send out to get all the copies made. Like, that's the master disc.
Yeah. There are no errors on that disc.
Yeah, that's the master disc that goes out. So when they say like something's gold... That's what they mean by that. And it was in this box that he bought off eBay.
Dude, that's just
crazy. Which is awesome, I think. You know, there's certain things like flying around that old people have that used to work for certain companies that you kind of just find. And
Think about like the stuff you have. You know, you just kind of pile it up, old stuff. You shove it in drawers and boxes, and then like comes time to just get rid of stuff.
Yeah,
that's probably what this person did.
The guy who bought it discovered it, and he posted it on Reddit what he should do, and Blizzard reached out to him saying that he needed to return the disc because it contained the company's intellectual property and trade secrets.
It's not an object that a person can own, right? Like Blizzard owns it for all time, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
At least according to their lawyers.
Yeah.
After thinking about it, he decided to send it back.
He decided to not get sued.
Yeah, he decided to send it back, and Blizzard was nice enough to send him a copy of Overwatch, a $250 Blizzard store credit, a bunch of other like cool swag, some Razer products. And they even offered to pay for him to come to BlizzCon, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good value.
I think Blizzard's a really good PR company. They do a lot of cool stuff. And I think that, just to send him, we have a picture in the article of some of the swag that he got. And to get all that, plus invited to BlizzCon, which I think would be awesome. I think that's cool. They could have just said, thank you, here's a copy of Overwatch. They kind of went above and beyond.
Well, I kind of feel like in this case, like, he found a long-lost thing that they really should have. And I don't know. I don't think that's too... It's not too much of an exaggeration to think that they owe him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, and I think...
Because there's a lot of other things he could do with this.
Yes.
With that disc.
Yeah.
So.
He could have eBayed it.
He could have eBayed it. I mean, he could have done
sold
a number of different ways for a good amount of money.
Yeah, so I think it's cool. I think it's like, again, I really like these like really old gamer or tech things that kind of just become found years later. I don't know what I would do if I had that. I'm not sure.
I'd try to sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah, or ask Blizzard for a bag of cash.
That's kind of what, like, okay, that's fine. You can have it back, but like... I'm going to get like 10 grand for it. So
yeah.
How about like 10 grand?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, guys, that wraps up our news for this week. Some really cool stuff this week, a lot going on in the tech and gaming world. And that brings us to next week. So we have some cool products coming next week. The first is Patriot's first PCI Express M.2 solid state drive. So it's their Hellfire drive. We have the 480 gig version, which is the highest capacity version that they currently offer. And it's very fast. 3,000 megabytes a second, read 2,400 megabytes a second, right? So that's four times the speed of your typical SSD.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. And it doesn't have the overheating issue like some other...
It does not.
So... You don't have that. And then a really cool thing that I'm sitting in right now is the Tesoro Zone Balance gaming chair. So a lot of people think these gaming chairs are all hype, which I actually thought, because I was like, why? But they're very comfortable. I love this chair now.
Okay.
And I have Herman Miller chairs at the office, and I like this much more.
Really?
It's a different feel. You kind of just like sink down, not you sink down into it, but like you just get that good feel. It has proper lumbar supports and head support. Like it's awesome. So if even if you're not a gamer, this is something good to have. If you're in front of a computer for extended periods of time, this is a good chair to have for sure.
Nice.
And then finally, we have a new product from Fractal Design. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you what product category it is. But Fractal Design is launching a new product on Wednesday, and we will have that review for you. So definitely stay tuned for that. Since at the end of podcast we talk about stuff we did this week, did you do anything fun?
I played a new game. I'm on a roll.
The same game you played last week?
No, I played a new game.
Whoa.
I'm still playing PlayerUnknown's Battleground. I'm getting a little better. It's still kind of terrible. But I played a game called Inside. It's kind of an indie game. It's been out for a little while, but rave reviews, of course, and which is why I decided to play it. And it's phenomenal. It's pretty short, 3 to 4 hours, I would say. And it's kind of, honestly, it's a bit like Portal, which kind of pulled me right in. It's kind of a puzzler. It's a side scroller, and it's really twisted. So
nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Definitely check that out if you're looking for a fun little game to play.
I haven't played any new games.
No.
I played a lot of games testing that mouse. I did, we talked about this off air last week, but I was trying to take a lot of time to really set up the video setup for our videos because we haven't posted a whole lot of videos on YouTube. So that's going to change this week. We'll have at least 3 videos this week. I think I finally fine-tuned everything where it looks really good, and hopefully you guys enjoy that. And I'm doing a sort of like behind-the-scenes series of completely redoing the office. I know I talked about this before, how I redid it, but I'm doing videos on it now, and I'm upgrading the main PC. Not as much hardware, but we're doing an RGB build in there. So that's going to be on there, and then some cool storage stuff as well. So definitely stay tuned to the YouTube. So we'll have a lot more content coming out. So I'm really excited about that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff going on here, guys. We might even have some more reviews this week. All depends, obviously, on what we get done. But we'll have all of that. So on your favorite podcasting software, website, whatever it may be, you can just find us. It's Think Computers, all one word. And as always, we have our full show notes page that has all of the links to everything. So we're like, when we're talking about the new Surface, we see the videos on there. You can click through the article and read even more about it than what we did, because sometimes we don't explain things fully. So you can, so you can go ahead and do that. So until next week, guys, catch you later.